Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, it's Martin Malloy with McMalloy and Tony Martin.
And today, yes, I'm afraid we're talking V-chips as we profile one Australian family who have put the chip to the test. Mick's got hold of one of them new orbital engines. He's running that up the flagpole. We've got another Rex Hunt shouting adventure. And we'll run a make on Li Jingyi, that controversial and muscly Chinese swimmer. As usual, we're playing Radio Gladiators and Beat the Beasley. We'll dip into the file marked Foolish Behaviour. And joining us live, the woman who's been romantically linked with Ian Turpey, Amanda Keller. Yes, it's all coming up on Martin Malloy. Where? That's for any members of the Chinese swimming team that might be listening today. It's Martin Malloy right around Australia with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who today has hit the big 3-0 on the exact same day Gough Whitlam's hit the big 8-0, Mick Malloy. Congratulations, Mickey.
Well, he's got me in years, but I'm probably the wiser of the two.
What does that mean, that you were born exactly 50 years after Gough Whitlam?
Mm-hmm.
Will the two of you be heading out on the town tonight?
Mate, we'll be getting up to all manner of strife. Same day as Julius Caesar too, I believe.
Is that right?
11th of July, yes. So maybe me and Gough will hit the town in togas.
All right. I want to see photos tomorrow. You, Gough, and Melissa George in togas.
Yeah, sink forget that quadro ball.
All right. Now, what are you talking about on your birthday, Mickey?
Well, Tony, there's a revolution going on in the automotive industry.
Yeah.
And it's homegrown. It's the new orbital engine designed by our very own Ralph Sarich, who's been working on this for about 20-odd years now. That's a long time, isn't it? Sounds like a shed job. He's been knocking it up down the back shed, taking his time, and from the sounds of it, he's built it out of bits and pieces, just lying about John Johansson style. Because, Tone, the new orbital engine, the new automotive breakthrough is, are you ready for this?
What?
A two-stroke.
Is it?
It's a two-stroke.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yes, I would love to have been there at the unveiling, because expectations would have been pretty high.
Mm.
Decades of research and planning, billions of dollars invested, everyone turns up to see their meal ticket for the next 40 to 50 years, and Ralph just takes them down the shed and whips the tarp off an engine he's removed from an old Victor mower to much oohing and ahhing from the assembled dignitaries.
My word.
A two-stroke engine, Tone. Sounds to me like Ralph's been pinching ideas from the Chinese space program. Are you going to buy a car with a two-stroke engine?
I don't think you would.
You'd probably have to start it like one of those old mowers. Oh, damn, won't start. Get out and push, you lot. Call the NRMA, will you? The only optional extra I can see in a car like this would be your... a grass catcher?
Yeah.
Could that work?
Well, it could be handy in certain circumstances.
There you go. Here's an orbital engine I've been working on, Tone.
Right.
Sure, I know. It looks like a standard outboard motor you'd find on the back of a tinny. Probably because it is. But I don't know. It just could be the next big thing. Attach that to the back of a car, fellas, and impress the chicks. You'll be beating them off with a stick. The government, Tone, were the first to give the orbital engine the green light.
Right.
They've ordered 20 cars.
Have they?
And did you see them? All it looked like to me was 20 golf carts with flags on the bonnet.
Well, maybe the people who put the cars together had found a chocolate cake out in the car park under a tree.
I'd say that could have been the secret ingredient.
And by the way, there is a birthday cake out in the car park.
Oh, look out.
Waiting for you after the show.
Excellent. Excellent. I've already had a couple of pieces. I saw it beforehand.
Right.
We'll follow my progress closely.
I'll talk you down.
20 government cars, Tone. 20 government cars with the Sarich orbital engine. And I hope they give one to Jeff Kennett, because I can't see him breaking too many land speed records in one of those jalopies. And I'd like to see one of them maybe pulling Johnny Howard's billboard of debt.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe with Johnny at the wheel in the little leather cap and goggles. Those magnificent men and their two-stroke machines, they go up, up, up. Is that right?
I think that's
up,
it.
Up, up, up.
Up diddly up initially.
Mm. Then they had a rethink and they went down diddly.
Down diddly down.
If I remember the lyric correctly.
Yeah, they were crazy guys. Well, there it is. I'll be queuing up down the showroom's tone for a Sarich orbital engine, because that's what I'm looking for in a car. Something that's got about as much grunt as the sex aid sitting in the top drawer.
And that'd be, you learned from Alanis Morissette. Mm. I'm never quite sure when she's finished. Mm. She's on the two-stroke orbital engine herself, I think, at the end there. Yeah. This is Martin Molloy, and Mick, I've been looking for something to talk about in the papers today.
What
and
you
I'm,
got?
Well, I'm sorry, but every paper I've opened is just screaming V-chip at me. The Age V-chip, the Herald V-chip, the Advertiser V-chip, the Courier Mail V-chip, Black and White magazine, the V-chip completely nude. But as the V-chip says, I was very happy with the pictures. They were extremely artistic and tasteful. Tell you what, I want a V-chip which turns off my telly every time some sucked-in soapy star starts blathering on about how, yes, I flopped the Norgs out for black and white, but the shots were very tasteful and artistic. Wrong. It's just People magazine, celebrities and the nutty, except the pictures ain't in colour. But anyway, all of the V-chip stories today, there's so many of them, but the one that's taken my fancy is this one from Sydney's Daily Telegraph, in which the O'Brien family of Strathfield give the chip the thumbs up and detail which shows they would program their telly to black out.
Okay.
Right, so it's a typical Australian family, and they're just running amok, see what they reckon.
Sure.
Says Mrs. O'Brien, who has five kids between the age of 2 and 15, in the past, whenever the boys have watched Gladiators, they've become aggressive and started hitting each other. They don't watch it anymore. Mm. But 9-year-old James, speaking for the affirmative, says his mum's ban on Gladiators is unreasonable. I'd still watch them, he says, hanging from a light fitting in a leotard whilst bashing his mum's head with a Nerf bat. Gee, that can't be good news for Channel 7. Aren't kids the only people watching Gladiators these days?
I think so.
Much as the cameramen force their lenses, fear up the female competitors' clackers at every opportunity. I think it's only the little ones getting excited about this poor man's. It's a knockout. But check out this. The O'Briens have been given today's TV page from the paper and asked which shows they would program their V-chip to blank out, and I'll tell you what, there ain't much left.
Oh, really?
Not much
at all. They've gone to town.
They have. Firstly, they've crossed out every news and current affairs program saying they contain scenes unsuitable for young children. That'd be those close-ups of Mike Munro's head.
Yep.
I'm guessing. Now, when I was a kid, we got told off if we weren't watching the news. But this average family is installing a device that says you can't watch the news or Ricky Lake, ER, the Channel 10 movie, most of what's on SBS, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Oprah, Donahue, because the topic today, diet doctors show you the best way to lose weight, might promote anorexic values. The Simpsons, because, quote, the O'Briens are concerned about Homer's drinking. Hello, O'Briens. He's a cartoon character. I hope you're equally concerned about the brain damage Sylvester the cat must be suffering, what with all them safes that keep landing on his head. They're also programming out such shows as David Letterman, which they describe as naughty, and The Young Ones. Now, both of these shows come on around midnight, so they're not taking any chances. How do the O'Briens punish their kids? One more comment like that, son, and you'll be sent straight to bed and forced to watch telly. Your television-denying privileges are revoked, young man. You want me to turn on Donahue? Believe you me, you'll be completely anorexic within a week. Get out of that atmosphere now. And look at this. They're even blocking out Great Crimes and Trials of the 20th Century, which comes on at 20 past 2 in the morning.
Jesus.
So the kiddies can't see it.
Oh, no.
They might be downstairs secretly at night. But as far as I can tell, the only person in the O'Brien family who's going to be up at 2 in the morning is Dad, painstakingly programming his next day's V-chip, having checked out and evaluated every single show on the TV week. It'll last about 3 days, I reckon, before he just chucks the TV out the window. And you know what? There's your simple and foolproof low-cost TV censorship system. Just open your window and give your telly the V-drop. And I've just been having another close look at this little V-chip plan that the O'Brien family of Strathfield, New South Wales have got together. They've, in case you're just joining us, it's a typical family who have outlined which shows they would block out from tonight's telly if they had the V-chip. And it's like about 7 hours' work with the old V-chip and instructions, getting rid of most of these programs.
What are they left? What can they watch? Was there anything?
About the only show they've left is the footy show.
The footy show. That's the Sydney footy show.
So that's Sydney footy.
football. Yeah. That'd have to be one of the violent, most violent confrontations I've ever seen. That's two teams of fully grown men running at each other. Yeah. You can hear their heads smashing. You know what I mean? They actually form a scrum and go each other. That's all right, is it?
And you've got blokes dressed as women. You've got Mahatma Coat as Fatty Vorton. Is that suitable for youngins?
Is that a role model? Mahatma Coat? Is he going to, you know, navigate your very sensitive children through those formative years?
They don't want him watching The Simpsons. That's no good, but they don't mind Mahatma Coat.
Yeah,
form your own conclusions, listeners. And I tell you what, Mick, let's find out what's on the telly right now.
And now it's time for another Rex Hunt shouting adventure.
G'day, folks, and welcome to another Rex Hunt shouting adventure. And this week, we're visiting a part of Australia, this vast and beautiful untamed country, where the shouting opportunities are good and plentiful. The Kimberley, the northwest heart of this great, big, beautiful Australian landmass we call Australia. It's just magnificent. So join me in the Kimberley, the last great shouting frontier. And as for this intro, yabba yabba, that's all, folks.
Still got another 10 seconds to fill, Rex.
Oh, okay. Australia. It's big, it's vast, it's untamed, it's part of our heritage. It belongs to all of us. It's great, it's magnificent, it's Australia.
2 more seconds.
Magnificent.
And clear.
As we headed deep into the Kimberley, I paused to reflect on how this great, untamed, vast land is some of the most beautiful country in the world. And it's ours, Australia's, as they say in the classics. And I knew that if I was going to go for a big shout in this big, beautiful part of Australia, I'd need a guide who knew where he was going. And that's where Quiet Barry comes in. As for this link, yibbida yibbida, that's all, folks. G'day, Barry, mate.
G'day, Rex.
Boy, he takes no prisoners. He leaves no food on the plate, as they say in the classics.
Let's go, Rex.
Yep, it's time to get shouting. As for this bit of the show, yibbida yibbida. Well, here we are, folks, in some of the most beautiful country in the world, to coin a phrase. Just magnificent. And it's ours, this big...
We're here, Rex.
Yes, mate, the rugged, untamed northwest. Vast and largely uninhabited. Just perfect for a spot of shouting. And unless my peepers have done me a disservice, this particular stretch of river is what I call a shouter's paradise.
What are you going to start with, Rex?
Well, Barry, mate, I'm a traditionalist, as they say in the classics, so I thought I'd kick off with a good old-fashioned Australia. So stand back. Here we go. Australia!
Very nice.
Not a bad cast, mate. And as is traditional to coin a phrase, I always throw the first word of the day back. Australia.
Nicely done.
Yibbida yibbida. Well, I'm joined now, as they say in the classics, by Percy Boulder, one of the finest and loudest writers for Shouting Monthly.
G'day, Rex.
G'day, mate.
Who's this?
That's Quiet Barry, mate.
G'day.
He's a bit quiet.
Quiet people have a place in nature too, Perce, and I think it's important that as Australians we all recognise that.
No worries, mate.
Now, care to join me for a couple of magnificence?
Sure.
Magnificent.
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 Magnificent. And as we stood there in one of the most unspoiled virgin shouting regions in this beautiful land we call Australia, Quiet Barry was finally moved to join us. Well, folks, that's all we've got time for, as they say in the classics, to coin a phrase. So until next week, yibbida yibbida.
Will you please stop saying that?
Oh, beautiful bit of shouting, Barry.
Fantastic!
At least a 3.5 to coin a phrase.
Magnificent!
One for the record books.
China Phillips, completely Frankie J and sacred here at Martin Malloy, where Amanda Keller is...
Something to sing about, isn't it? I feel naked and sacred.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell the world in song.
Well, if you want to burst into song, Mickey...
Oh, I've already had a go at those magnificent men in their flying machine with tragic results.
All right. Well,
uppity up, up. Down diddly, down, down.
No, up diddly, up, up, actually. See, you got to know that to get your pilot's license these days. That's one of the questions.
Right.
It's up,
Diddly up, up.
Yes, and down. Diddly down, down.
Congratulations, sir. Here's your wings.
That's right. That's how that seven-year-old got that pilot's license a few months back. Now, I mentioned Amanda Keller. She's coming in.
Excellent.
In the next hour. Or she's going to be on the line, at least, from another part of the country. But she's got a new TV series on Foxtel.
She's always got something new on the go.
Yeah, and, of course, her relationship with Turpy, Ian Turpy, Terps Turpy, on the HGN Roy program.
What do you mean, her relationship?
Well, have you been watching Terps About the House on Club Buffer?
Of course I have.
It's getting pretty steamy.
But are you saying there's an off-screen kind of development there?
I'm just trying to hype the segment, Mickey. I'm doing what I can. You know.
Okay.
But what else have we got? We've got Radio Gladiators. That's worth hyping. What about Beat the Beasley? How did that go yesterday?
It was a smashing success.
Yeah, finally.
Just ask Barbara Cartland.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid we dropped a thermonuclear device onto Barbara Cartland's head, as we want to do on the show. It was a birthday treat for her. And despite the injuries, she's banged out six or seven books in the meantime. So she's fine. Also, can I just turn my attention briefly to China, Mickey? China, where men are men and so are members of the female Olympic swimming team. Have you seen these pictures of Li Jingyi?
Oh, yeah.
In today's paper, you know, she was on the shortlist for the new Batman film. I don't know if you know that. No phony plastic muscles required. Lee's coach, the controversial Zhao Ming, who was, of course, banned for a year for not stopping the Chinese team's out-of-control use of steroids, said yesterday he expected his swimmers to dominate the female events in the pool at Atlanta. Yeah, of course they'll dominate when you've got seven swimmers who look like Kate Moss and one who looks like Fabio. Which one do you think's going to dominate? But Li Jingyi is becoming so well-known, her name's starting to crop up in conversations. Have you noticed that, Mickey? Mm. Just last week, my girlfriend said to me, if you were half the man Li Jingyi is... But anyway, Jingyi, for her part, still maintains she's off the gear. And today released this statement.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved.
This is Martin Malloy.
I'm Kylie and I'm born to be wild.
Brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
You're listening to Martin Malloy, where it's time for some of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Are you out of work? Are you looking for a job? Are you a dead set Paxton? Well, look no further than Zimbabwe. Have you seen this, Mickey?
Yep.
Applications are flowing in from all over the world because Zimbabwe, the government, the justice minister in Zimbabwe has said we need a new hangman. That's right, they're still on the hang over in Zimbabwe. They need somebody to pull the lever.
And is this replacing or is it just there's more work available at this time of year?
Oh, there's a big bank up.
It's seasonal hanging.
That's right. But it says, no, I think the previous one... Well, he's carked it, basically.
He's carked it? Or did he get the gold watch?
I hope it wasn't
to move on.
An on-the-job slipper. But he had trained an understudy, but the understudy resigned several years ago. You know, his best hanging years were behind him.
Okay.
But, you know, you just get past, you know, you put it behind you. You go, I've had enough hanging. You know, it's time for me to just settle down with a shed. But they're looking for, and people have been applying from all over the, what sort of person? Going through the, down the CES, oh, I don't know, apprenticeship, hanging. That's the go.
What am I good at? What are my skills?
Well, that's what they say. They say applications for the hangman's job would be considered on merit. What does that mean?
Our track record, how many you've hung.
Previous experience. Do you look good in the hood? You've got to look good in that. And some people can't pull that
you
hood
can't.
Off.
It's not as easy as it looks.
All right, well.
Look at the Unabomber. You know, I mean, not everyone could have done what he did.
Nah,
in the hood.
But anyway.
The Unabomber. Why doesn't he apply?
Well, I don't think it's a wind cheater. I don't think it's a bloke in a wind cheater.
Why not? It could be.
It's a proper full-on hangman.
Well, I'm not going to get the job, obviously.
Oh, no. It's just a bloke in a wind cheater. I like it. But hanging is the big winner, I think, at the end of the day. We're not talking about hanging today on Radio Gladiators. We're just talking about, as we have before, unusual jobs. We want you to call us up if you've got an unusual job. Last time we did this, I think the winner was the mascot for the Geelong Supercats.
Correct.
Bloke who walks around all day in a cat suit, but maintains that it's a dead set chick magnet.
Mm.
And do you know anyone with an unusual job? Have you had one yourself, Mickey?
Well, I actually almost got a very unusual job, which I applied for. I went for a copywriting job. This is true. We were for Grundy's.
Oh, yeah.
And had to go in and write out a gift shop for sale of the century. And I didn't get the job, and I won't actually go into the details as to why, but let's just say my 50-word sales pitch for a set of Niblick golf clubs was word-for-word identical to the girls sitting in front of me. And so I was turfed and told not to come back. That's true.
Now you've got a sensible job hosting Beat the Beasley on national radio.
Who's laughing now, Grundy's?
All right. I know a bloke, a fairly hefty gentleman, shall we say, name of Colin McCabe, and he works in New Zealand. I'll tell you what his job is.
Mm.
Testing comfy chairs. He is an official comfy chair tester.
Do you believe everything Colin tells you, Tone?
Well, he looks the part. He looks good in a comfy chair. I'm thinking if I had a chair and I wanted to test it for comfiness, he'd be the man.
What did he make of the Smokey Dawson?
Oh, he wasn't too impressed by the Smokey Dawson. No.
Mm.
I don't think he felt it was, didn't have the little drink holders. He likes anything with a beverage holder really gets him in.
Didn't come with a sick bag.
No. And is the Smokey Dawson still on the market? I'm trying not to cause any legal trouble.
No, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Smokey's still kicking on in the chair game. But he's very serious about it. Like, it'll be, stand back. I'm the official chair tester.
And how do you know if it's comfy? What, if he just nods off, that's it? They go into mass production.
They go, that's a 9.8. And what about this? What about our friend who we won't name? He's been on the show. He's a comic about town, a well-known stand-up comedian who worked for a week in a sex shop.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
Remember, I can't say his name.
No, and you can't say the company he worked for either, I wouldn't think.
No, I don't think that can be said on radio. But he worked for, and he got into a lot of trouble because business wasn't going as well as it should have been.
No.
And I think he got sacked when he suggested they could move more sex aids if they had a few in-store demonstrations.
He's a thinker.
He was shown the door.
Here's this. You done?
Oh, I think I'm done with the sex aids, Mickey.
All right, I've got a mate who worked at Channel 7 in Melbourne.
Right.
And he worked in the props department and worked there for some time. But one day they came running in and they grabbed him, put him into wardrobe and makeup because they were doing their lotto draw, their weekly night, and one of the government supervisors hadn't shown.
Really?
So they bung him in his suit, called him Fred, and stuck him behind the desk with the other two. And he had to sit there looking quite official.
And
he's probably naked from the waist down. He probably had the big underpants on. Who knows? But I thought that was an unusual job.
If I was one of those officials, because how many are there on the panel?
Three.
I'd get a Mexican wave happening if it was if it was five numbers, it was 66. Yes! Alrighty, that's what I'd like to see. But we want to hear if you've got an unusual job. And do we have a prize? Yes, we do. Listen to this. Tickets for you and a friend to see John Farnham live in concert, a Martin Malloy t-shirt, and you'll go into the drawer when tomorrow Mr. Copperard himself will reach into the barrel and send somebody and a friend to the new four-star Port Douglas treetops flying Ansett Airlines staying 7 nights. Call us if you've got an unusual job. 1-800-657-657. Earl, today on Radio Gladiators here at Martin Malloy, we're simply asking you to tell us about your unusual job. Now, we're talking real jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a lot of people calling up going, yes, I'm Batman. And you're thinking, that's an unusual job by anyone's standards. But I don't think you are Batman.
Yeah.
Maybe you are in your own mind. We want people with real jobs and unusual jobs. Who have we got, Mickey?
We got Ron on the line. How are you, Ron?
G'day, Mick. How are you, mate?
Oh, I can't complain at this stage now, mate. We're on the hunt. Unusual jobs. Can you help us out?
Yeah, well, I run a pet cremation and burial service.
Oh, we're in business straight away. And how does that go, Ron? Business good?
Yes, mate, it is. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, and is it seasonal? Is it something, are you into this? Is this constant?
Yeah, it's pretty constant. The winter slows down a bit, but the summer's a lot better.
And is it just like a normal crematorium but smaller? Is there a little tiny conveyor belt taking the pets along to the flame grill? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's a lot smaller than a human one, yeah.
Right.
You just feed them in and they... in time they come out the other end, yeah.
And what kind of pets are we talking? Are we just talking your standard kind of dog-cat arrangement, or do you do all kinds, all manner of beasts?
Oh, I do all manner. Doesn't matter what it is, yeah.
What's the most unusual you've done?
Probably cockies. I know a lot of them.
Right. Have you ever had to make a really, really long skinny coffin for a snake?
No, not yet, mate. No.
Okay. Well, if you ever do, give us a call, Ron.
All right, mate.
Okay, thank you. And now we've got Kerry. Kerry, what's your unusual job?
Well, it's not actually mine, but right. It's my mother's, and she has a UFO shop.
A UFO shop? What does that mean? A shop that's only been seen in the desert by hillbillies? What does that mean?
No, not exactly, but she gets a few requests for custom-made UFOs now. She gets lots of people coming in with their abduction stories. And
oh, right, so it's books, it's paraphernalia.
Yeah, that sort of thing, yep.
Repairs for the UFO?
Pardon?
Is it UFO repairs?
Yeah, well, she could do that, yeah, I suppose.
Got anything down there with an orbital engine?
All vertical takeoff.
Or UFO, that's a big job.
Oh, you come.
See you Thursday. We have to send to the Andromeda Galaxy for parts.
The UFO shop.
And has she ever seen one herself, Kerry?
She tells me she has, but I'm a little bit sceptical, so.
All right.
Yeah.
And does she bring her work home with her?
No.
All right. Okay, thanks, Kerry. That's a fairly unusual job.
I like it a lot.
A UFO shop. Have we got Andy with us? Andy? Hey, Ann, what's your job?
Oh, dear.
We've lost Andy. He's gone down the gurgler. And any idea what Andy's job was, Emma?
He was furniture estimator. Furniture removalist estimator.
Oh, well, that's not that unusual, is it? I reckon he's been on there going, oh, bloody hell, UFO shop. I'm out of my league. Cremating pets. Moving furniture ain't that unusual. Mm. All right, thanks, the Invisible Andy. Have we got Nathan with us? Nathan, you there?
Yeah, mate.
You've got an unusual job?
Yeah, castrating cattle, mate.
Castrating cattle? And do you bring your work home with you?
No, mate, no.
And how'd you get into that caper? Was it just something that caught your attention down the CES?
Yeah, jackaroo course, mate.
Right,
jackaroo course.
Yeah, Mount Isa.
At Mount Isa. And what did the jackaroo course entail? Is that 3 years of intensive training? Or you just go up and lop the knackers on a bit of cattle?
No, I went for a year, mate. Just riding horses, 8 hours a day.
Right.
Mm. And is it hard work? I mean, are you sweating at the end of a day?
Yeah, you do, mate. Yeah, you do, yeah.
And how many would you get through in a day?
Is that castrating cattle, mate?
Yeah, castrating cattle. How many would you lop in a day? Typical working day.
300 head of cattle, mate.
300.
Whoa. 300 head of cattle.
And where can you go? Where are the prospects for advancement in this particular field of endeavour?
Not much places, mate.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
You'll be castrating calves till they don't come home, I imagine. All right, thanks, Nathan. We've got Lisa with us now. Lisa, is your job any more pleasant than Nathan's?
A little bit. It wasn't my job. It was my sister's.
Right.
She was a frog for Ribbit's Pizza and Ribs.
Ribbit's Pizza and Ribs. Which state are you calling us from, Lisa?
I'm from Melbourne, but I lived in Brisbane when she was working there.
Right.
Yeah.
And what were her duties? What did that involve?
She had to jump out in front of cars and try to get them to stop to come into the pizza shop, but she actually got hit by a car, so she doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, dear. But
people be going past. Jesus, those cane toads are getting big up here.
Mind you, I tell you what, maybe Ribbit's could use Dougie the Pizza Boy for their commercial.
They could do.
Keep him right at home.
Oh,
I see.
Oh, dear.
And what does she do now?
She's actually a sales rep.
All right, still got the costume.
Yeah, it's got like the tie marks on it.
Right, tell her wear it to her next sales conference, just for a bit of a gag.
Yes, you should do.
All right, thanks, Lisa. And finally, I think we're going to talk to, who is it, Mickey?
It's Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hi, guys, how are you?
Good. What you got for us in the way of an unusual job?
Oh, I've done some strange things in my time. This one's pretty embarrassing, so keep it to yourselves.
Sure.
I actually work for a tissue and paper manufacturing firm, and I actually test toilet paper.
Oh, do you? Now, keeping it as tasteful as possible, Paul.
Yeah.
What sort of, I mean, go a bit more specific. I mean, is there a bunch of you in a room? Is it a whole lot of cubicles?
No,
just a whole lot of testers going, 3.4, 5.8 down here. Oh, that's a top bit of toilet paper.
Well, there's actually a couple of cubicles, one for male and one female.
Yeah.
And they send us in with a bowl of curry.
Right.
And okay. Away we go, and we test the thickness.
Is this
you're having a lend of us now, Paul.
Are you having a lend, Paul?
No, not at all.
Is this for real?
This is for real.
You're going to have to confirm it.
They send you in with the curry, do they?
No, not quite, but we do test toilet paper.
All right.
All right.
And so you spend all day bending the elbow.
That's right.
And have you ever had a situation where you've been home and run out and had to call for somebody to bring you a TV week?
No, I've never been in that situation.
Have you ever just thrown open the door of your cubicle, stormed out and gone, this just won't do. Must try harder. All right.
No,
well,
but it is a fact.
Okay, if that's for real, I think Paul might be our winner.
All right.
Certainly an unusual job. And do you get a lot of stirring from your mates about that?
Oh, I sure do, mate.
Okay. Probably even more now, but I tell you what, you can throw it back in their face because you've gone, well, firstly, you've gone into the draw for the trip to Port Douglas, which we'll be drawing tomorrow at this time. And you've also got yourself, of course, the tickets to see John Farnham and the Martin Malloy T-shirt.
Oh, fantastic.
And if you don't like the T-shirt, just take it out back for a damn good testing. With our good wishes. Okay, thanks for taking part.
Thanks,
everybody,
guys.
Who had an unusual job today. Mm. And we'll be back in the next hour with somebody who's had a series of them over the years, Amanda Keller. And in this hour of Martin Malloy, Beat the Beasley, our answer to Twister, and next up we're making contact with Amanda Keller. Sweet. Dreams here at Martin Malloy, where it is officially the second hour. Mm-hmm. And let's welcome our guest. We haven't spoken to this person for quite a while, Mickey. Mm-hmm. You'd know her from her handy hints and her work with Andrew Denton. She's a recent addition to the cast of Terps About the House on the ABC's Club Buggery Saturday nights. And she's about to boot off her own show called The Hub on Foxtel. And Galaxy, if the satellite is in position, we should be able to say hello to Amanda Keller. Can you hear us, Amanda?
I can hear you. Hello, guys. Happy birthday, Mick. You and Gough on the same day. It's more than a coincidence.
Thanks,
and play
Amanda.
School today, too, I think. Today,
was it today or yesterday? It was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Was it?
That makes me the same age as play school.
It's extraordinary.
Crikey.
So you've been born and they've gone, let's get play school
quick,
up on
we've got to entertain him somehow.
The first person with ADD.
And did you get me anything, Amanda?
It's in the post. Sorry about that.
I'm sure.
Actually,
Unabomber style.
I've got a present for you, Mickey. You haven't asked me.
Well, have you got a present for me, Tom?
Yeah, have a look at this. I got it today. And in the post, it's Dougie the Pizza Boy's driver's license. It's yours for the next 6 months, I'm afraid. You might have to give it back then.
Excellent.
Unless there's another incident. Now, Amanda, what have you been up to? We haven't talked to you since about this time last year.
That's right. I've had a really interesting 6 months, actually. The Denton Show finished at the end of last year, and right. I've just been doing lots of bits and pieces that I've really enjoyed. Like, you mentioned Terps About the House. That's my one chance to be a soapy star, I think, and I'm milking it for all it's worth.
And what kind of preparation have you done for this role?
It's quite taxing, actually. Well, the filming itself, we did some this afternoon. It took almost an hour, and we actually had to rehearse it once before we did it. So it's not as easy as a lot of people think.
Is there lots of fireworks on the set? Is there lots of tantrums from actors saying, my character just wouldn't say it like that?
Well, so the Terps hangs around doing his crosswords, and the Cedrics and I just have a bit of a goss, and we dunk the Scotch finger biscuits into the cup of tea, and we sit on the sofas, and the afternoon passes, and it's just fantastic.
Now, Amanda, for people who haven't seen Terps About the House, how can we explain it?
I'm not sure. I guess it's like Man About... Is that what it was called, Man About the House?
Yep.
The English series where Terps...
Don't make out like you never saw it. You've got every episode on videotape.
Terps sharing a flat with the Cedrics, and Terps never says anything, but life revolves around him in this flat.
Yeah.
And I became involved on the night of the Quantro Ball, which we pretended was a few weeks ago.
Mm.
And I came in, spent the night with Terps, thinking that he was Stan Thompson, Jack Thompson's brother.
Right. Now, I'm sorry, Amanda, we've mentioned Man About the House, and I've got a terrible little vision in my head at the moment. Do you remember the opening titles of Man About the House?
Yes, with the clothesline with some boys' underpants and bras and things.
That's right. It was on back in the 70s, and they had two women living together, and they showed the bloke, and they had a picture of him, and then there was the actor's name was supered up. Then they had the dark-haired woman, they super her name up, and then for the blonde woman, they just had a shot of her ass walking up the street.
And then she was on a boat lying in a swimming costume, I remember that bit as well.
But wouldn't that look good on your resume, just a shot of your ass and your name supered under, and that was her biggest role?
Did you see the pictures of them? It might have been in Who magazine recently, in the one of the Where Are They Nows, and it's so disappointing. It's tragic to visit people 20 years later. We just shouldn't. Yeah. Everyone should be killed when they hit 40.
Well, Amanda, we all had a good hard laugh at that, and then we looked at each other and went, that'll be us.
Yes. And Amanda, yeah, because it's a bit of soapy work, did you spend much time researching by kicking back and watching the daytime soaps yourself?
Oh, look, I've had another part of having sort of a nice, fun 6 months is I've been watching a lot of daytime TV. I'm a big soap fan, and I like all the Ricky Lake. I hate those shows, but I can't stop watching them. It's like watching a house burn down. Once you're there, you can't stop looking at it. There was one particular one a couple of weeks ago, actually. It was Ricky Lake, and the subject was, "She keeps beeping my man." And I thought beeping must be a polite way of saying having sex with, but it wasn't. It was, "This girl keeps paging my boyfriend."
Oh, dear.
It was so boring. They're getting so desperate. There's children with grandparents next week on Oprah.
Outrageous. And will you be programming your V-chip to get rid of that kind of stuff, like that family in one of the papers today?
Oh, if only I could. I don't quite follow how the V-chip can possibly work.
Is it something you have to program every day? Because according to this article, the way I work it is you have to get up in the morning real early before the kids, check the TV week, work out every possible program that might have a bit of nudity in it and violence, and it's like setting your video about 1,000 times in one morning, isn't it?
And then the parents come home and just watch all the stuff that's been barred during the day.
Exactly.
Just
banking up.
Crimp your television set. That's my advice.
And Amanda, can we ask, I know you probably don't want to reveal too much behind the scenes stuff, but what is Ian Turpey like out of work hours?
Actually, Ian is an absolute delight. He is such a nice man, and he's got this beautiful sort of baritone voice, and he sort of plays this stupid old lush on this show for Terps About the House. He's always wandering around with love bites and looking slightly drunk, but he's such a nice guy.
Has he made any comment at all about the baby John Burgess affair?
No, but John Doyle, HG and Roy are absolutely appalled, and they've mentioned that a number of times. I mean, what's Tony Barber thinking of?
Well, I just tell Terps from us, don't touch the mo. Leave it alone.
Yes, well, exactly. That's where it all went wrong.
And how is that close up? Amanda,
it's
larger than life. Is everything you'd imagine?
It's larger than life and it's clean.
You've had to go up and tell him he's got something stuck in it?
No.
What's he got in there?
We're only pretend kissing, okay?
Next time you see him, go up and just get your fingers on either end and give it a good hard shake and just see what falls out.
A couple of starlings.
An old tyre. An engine block.
All right, well, enough Terps Mo talk. Dear. Amanda, we want to talk about your upcoming show on the paid TV, whether you want to or not.
I'm thinking of growing a mo. It's obviously a sign of success on TV.
Oh, that'll get people forking over the subscriptions. We'll talk about that next. Or talk about it if we prefer next on Martin Malloy. Closer to Free. That's from Party of Five. Of course, it's the Bodines here at Martin Malloy, where in another part of the nation, we've got Amanda Keller. Can you still hear us, Amanda?
Sadly, I can.
Now, what's the story with paid TV? You've joined the roster of stars and celebrities who are getting involved in Foxtel and Galaxy.
Look, they're all lining up. I saw Joe Bailey in the makeup room at Foxtel the other day.
Oh,
that's
really?
It's action-packed out there.
What's she working on?
She's working on an entertainment program on the Fox Channel, I think. She's hosting it with Mike Hammond.
Yeah.
And I saw her without her makeup and she still looked gorgeous, so I wanted to kill her.
Right. And what about yourself? What are you sitting on? The Hub. Tell us about the Hub.
Well, this is, it's on the Arena Channel, as you're saying, and they're hoping that the Arena Channel will sort of be the arts entertainment channel. We're hoping to make an acerbic, slightly black entertainment program that looks at movies and TV and popular culture in general. And so we'll look at things that are very important and things that are completely throwaway and frivolous. We're hoping to cover stuff that just makes us laugh, really.
So you're going to be front and centre in the hosting position?
I'm in the hosting position, that's right. I get to have the camera on me.
And have you got any exclusives you can give us a bit of a lead into?
It's 2 weeks. We're on air on the 30th, Tuesday the 30th of July. That's our first show. So, look, I don't want to say too much because that rascal Ray could be listening and could, pip us at the post.
Oh,
see.
Is that
how it works? And what's the general vibe around the Foxtel building? Because I think the head office is in Sydney, and when we were there, that was a huge kind of wharf-like arrangement. They had big plans. Was all that space, is that for your show? I mean, what's going on there?
I don't know how many shows are being made there, but I've been in and out there for a couple of weeks, and I think I've seen the same person once.
Mm.
There's a huge numbers of people there, but it's a huge wharf arrangement. Someone was saying that apparently Paramount is set up like that in the States. So if it works for them, it'll work for us.
And when you walk in the front door, is like your picture really huge in the foyer, Nindu with Ray?
I wouldn't go that far. I still have to sign in when I go there because I think I'm a visitor.
Okay.
I hate that.
And are many people, what are the figures? Do you know how many people have signed up for the pay TV so far?
Well, I don't know, but I think it's growing. And I hadn't actually thought that much about pay TV before this. And I must say that a lot of the shows I'd been offered all seemed pretty much the same, and they're all trying to please everyone, whereas at least pay TV, you can please no one, but you can actually make something that doesn't have to be bland and appeal to everyone. You can do something with a bit of an edge, which is why this show appealed to me. So I think that with more Australian content like this and the best of overseas content, for example, the Arena Channel's got lots of the good English comedy shows and lots of Channel 4 stuff from England, I think we'll get more and more people subscribing.
Man About the House? Is that?
I'm hoping
for a Man About the House channel. And I'm sure there will eventually be one.
And the Ropers could get there too eventually.
I hope so. Mm. And because it's on pay TV, does that mean you're allowed to just swear? Are you allowed to come on and it's Amanda Keller wandering onto the set with a fag in one hand, a beer in the other, and talking up a blue streak? Is it like that?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm hoping that I can stretch the boundaries that far. apparently we can get away with a bit of nudity. Not mine, but in stories and things.
So it's a V-chip free zone.
It's a V-chip free zone. We can just go for it. And sadly, I'll probably still turn up in a dressing gown.
Right. And we must ask about one of your previous projects, the much missed Denton program.
Yes.
What's the story with Andrew Denton? Nobody's seen him for a while. He's like the Bigfoot. He's been photographed running through a forest, I think, recently. Nobody knows if the photo is authentic. He's gone all reclusive. Is he sitting at home building a huge unwieldy aircraft in his shed? What's he doing?
I think he's probably making the Eiffel Tower out of paddle pop sticks. But he's good. I saw him the other day. He challenged me to a game of tennis. We had a game of tennis earlier in the year, and I pulled a muscle in my leg, and the day ended with him piggybacking me to my car. It was a very bad look. And I spoke to someone recently who'd played touch football with him who'd pulled a muscle in their back. I think Andrew is the antichrist on the sporting field.
Did you give that bloke a piggyback home?
Maybe that's where the problem started.
I'd like to have seen that.
Yes. I can't help but notice we were saying that, you know, Baby John got the dick after he lost the Mo. And, you know, suddenly when Andrew decided to change the hair colour, we just knew his days were numbered at Channel 7.
His little beard now. Have you seen him with his beard? He's got like a little Elliot Goblet beard, and it actually really suits him.
Yes, he's changing his name to Andrew St. James. That's what I've heard. Going on the road, getting people to play chicken. All right, well, Amanda, all the best of luck with the Hub.
Well, thank you very much.
And all the best of luck with your enduring relationship with Ian Turpie. And I hope it develops into a kind of Melrose scenario.
We can only hope. And the love bite deciding to fade already.
All right, and of course, Club Buggery can be seen Saturday nights on the ABC at 9:30. Thanks for talking to us, Amanda Keller.
Thank you.
Down here at Martin Malloy, and what better way to introduce...
It's time to play Beat the Beasley. Here's how it works. Mick and Tony have commissioned the nation's finest designers, engineers and craftsmen to construct several frighteningly lifelike replicas of federal opposition leader Kim Beazley. Every day on Martin Malloy, one of these enormous structures will be dropped onto something fragile, tiny or defenseless. That is, unless you can correctly answer five questions and beat the Beazley. If you're successful, you'll win a Sanyo Olympic Home Entertainment package, including a Sanyo widescreen TV, Sports Review VCR, enough pizza and Coke to get you through the games, and a cleaner to come to your place and deal with the aftermath. Okay, lads, roll out the Beasley.
Yes, we'd be happy to, as always, Pete Smith. And Mickey, did you see this article in the paper yesterday? Somebody in Australia is sitting on $52 million in 1 and 2 cent coins.
They're not handing them back?
They're not handing them back.
I'd have half of that in my other pair of pants.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's illegal, but you're supposed to be handing them back.
Oopsie.
There's a 1 and 2 cent piece amnesty.
Is it a buyback scheme?
It is.
What do you get for a 1 and 2 cent piece?
You get, I don't know.
Nothing.
You just get nothing, that's right.
Fair enough.
If you take them in lots of 10,
Well, what's my incentive to take it back?
Well, you'll get bigger coins. You'll get, I don't know.
Bigger coins?
Bigger coins.
Cool.
Anyways, I think what happens is you take in your 1 and 2 cent pieces and they leave them under a pillow and you get a whole lot of teeth. I don't bloody know. I'm trying to work with the tools I'm given.
All right.
But anyway, at least $10 worth of 1 and 2 cent coins are being hoarded by the average Australian family, and it adds up to $52 million. So we've all got $10 worth of 1s and 2s somewhere, like down the back in the car.
Whip.
Under the mat in the car.
Back of the couch.
Yeah. It's building up. And they say they'll never get the bulk of it back. And also there's $20 million worth of $1 notes.
Still circulating.
$1 notes?
Yeah.
Remember the $1 notes?
Yeah, that was way back when.
They were the days.
That was before we went to decimal currency, I think.
Well, I've got the answer because we've got all 52 million bucks worth of coins here in the studio suspended over our heads. That's right. We've welded them together into a giant Beasley, a giant effigy of our federal opposition leader. And, you know, we do take requests here at Beat the Beasley, and I think we've had one. Who are we dropping the Beasley onto, Mickey?
Michael Hutchins.
Michael Hutchins, who requested that?
Bob Geldof.
What a surprise. We're just going to drop 52 million bucks worth of 1 and 2 cent pieces on a Michael Hutchins.
Mm. He wrote it out 5,000 times. Can you please drop $52 million worth of 1 and 2 cent pieces onto Michael Hutchins, please?
Signed, Sir Bob. All right, well, we'll do just that unless you can answer 5 trivia questions successfully within the space of a minute. It's really simple. It won't hurt at all. Call us now. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Their apparent objective is to crush resistance, paralyze communication, and disorganize human society.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
And time to start programming your V-chips, mums and dads, because it's time for the competition that always ends in blind, ugly violence here at Martin Malloy. Beat the Beasley. Here's what we've done today. We've constructed a lifelike replica of our federal opposition leader from a fair few 1 and 2 cent pieces, because there's a lot of them out there, 52 million bucks, in fact, worth of ones and twos that Australians are refusing to hand back, obviously thinking that these will be worth something one day. You know, they're not worth much now, but they're not handing them back. We've got a lot of them. We've welded them into a Beasley, and what are we, who are we going to drop it onto, Mickey?
Michael Hutchins, I believe.
For no particular reason. That's just the kind of people we are here at the show. But who's going to try and stop that, prevent it from happening, Mickey?
It's Richard. Hello, Richard.
How are you, mate?
Not too bad at all. How's yourself?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, that's the way. What do you do for a crust, Richard?
Oh, I'm at school at the moment.
You're at school?
Yeah.
Can you tell us which school you go to?
Lake Jindera College.
Yeah, is that some kind of special school? Are you...
No? Oh, no, just a normal one.
Just a normal one. Yeah. Whereabouts is it?
I'm in Canberra.
Oh, in Canberra. What's happening? I think we're scheduled to drop by the FM 104.7 breakfast program tomorrow, so we'll be able to see for ourselves. Well, what is going on in Canberra that the rest of the nation should know about, Richard?
There's nothing much happening here. Nothing ever does.
Oh, really? It's that bad?
So that's what it says on the ads. Have you seen the ads for Canberra?
Nothing much happening.
Something happens. Yeah, I went to school. I went to Aranda Primary. Do you know that one?
Yeah, my girlfriend went there.
All right. So did mine, too, at a very early age.
And, Richard, are you ready to play Beat the Beasley?
Yep, sure am.
Okay, it's pretty simple. We're craning the Beasley into position. Don't be distracted by the outrageous music and sound effects. We just want you to focus on answering the following questions. Here they come. Any second now. Whose house does Michael Hutchins live in?
Bob Geldof's ex-wife.
Yes.
Whose house does Bob Geldof live in?
His ex-wife's old home.
Oh, no. He lives in Michael Hutchins' house, I'm afraid. What colour is our recently introduced $100 note?
Blue.
Oh, it's green, I'm afraid.
What colour is Michael Jackson?
White.
Yes! Name the blockbuster film that's currently number one in America.
Mission Impossible.
Oh, it's Independence Day, I'm afraid.
What nickname? What's a nickname the gun lobby have for John Howard?
Oh, no idea.
Footwear. Jack Boot Johnny, okay. What did you have for dinner the night before last?
McDonald's.
Oh, yes!
That. Name 3 supermodels.
Yeah, McPherson, Cindy Crawford, and Claudia Schiffer.
Yes, now we're talking. Name someone who's gone out with a supermodel. Quick!
Michael Hutchins.
Yes!
And Eric has done it!
Second day in a row in the nick of time! What, was it the third day in a row? Did I get that wrong, Gracie? Okay, Richard, just in the nick of time, you've bagged yourself the Olympic prize pack thanks to Sanyo.
Oh, unreal.
It's a bloody big telly. It's a Sports Review VCR. It's Kogan's Pizza. And you can make as much mess as you want because the Sanyo people are sending a clean around to your place.
Unreal.
And what did we learn in the questions there? Oh, dear.
The $100 note is blue, apparently. You haven't seen one of those before, Richard?
No. Too many 2 and 1 cent pieces around here.
Gotcha. Well, I tell you what, I think we'd like to see plenty of 2 and 1 cent pieces strewn about the studio. Are you giving us permission to drop the Beasley?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Here it comes. Run for your life. Look out.
Yes, there you go. Get yourself back to Bob Geldof's place, Michael. Well, thanks for playing, Richard.
Thanks,
Richard.
A lot.
And we'll be back to beat the Beasley once again tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Fast love, that's George Michael here at Martin Malloy, where Mickey beat the Beasley, just went off in the nick of time.
Again.
Thanks, Richard.
Had a couple of cliffhangers, haven't we, in the last couple of days?
He knew his supermodels, but didn't he?
Yeah, if he ever goes to Mastermind, that should be his secret topic.
We could have said name 20 supermodels and he would have got them all. And what did he get wrong? Well, fair enough for the $100 note. You don't see many of those about. And what was the other one? I think, yes, got the colour of Michael Jackson correct. I don't think anyone would argue that he's white. And name the blockbuster film, well, Independence Day. It's in the news today. It's already the biggest movie of all time, apparently.
Right.
It's Martians, it's aliens, it's death rays.
It's a public holiday.
That's right. It's aliens invading, everyone getting the day off. That's
I've made one. It's called Queen's Birthday Tone. Watch out. It's going to blow this one off the screen.
Terrifying. Everyone's stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours. Tension, suspense. Heated arguments. What about the shorts? I've seen the shorts for Independence Day about 7 times in the last 6 months. Mm. And without a fail, every time you see that shot of the White House exploding, the audience just erupt into celebrations. It's there just, I've never seen such a crowd-pleasing image. And it seems to have worked. But you know what? We can come up with our own movie blockbusters or blockbusters right here at Martin Malloy.
From the producers of Twister comes the latest action blockbuster dealing with inclement weather conditions. Batten down the hatches and prepare to be caught up in a stiff breeze.
Hey, I'm going down the shops. You want anything?
Oh, I wouldn't go out there right now.
Why not?
There's a bit of a stiff breeze.
Really?
Yep. Have a look at the washing on the clothesline.
Cripes, you're right. I might leave it half an hour. Well, that washing will be dry in no time.
When a stiff breeze comes to town, ladies wearing skirts had better watch out. Or when they're walking down the street, other people might get a glimpse of their bottom. And it's no picnic for the gents either.
Jeez, that breeze has picked up.
You're not wrong.
Greg, look out! Your hat!
What the?
Oh, my hat! Quick, chase it!
It's gone, mate! It's gone!
My hat!
Damn this stiff breeze! Damn it to hell!
The forecast said cloudy in the morning, clearing to sunny and fine in the afternoon. But it never said anything about a gentle breeze that just didn't know when to stop getting fresher.
Hey, mate, you got a light?
Yep, sure.
What's the problem?
It's the damn breeze. I can't light it. It won't light.
Here, I'll cut my hands.
It's not going to light it, Julia. It's not going to light.
Unless you've got a pretty reliable Parker, you won't want to be caught in the eye of a stiff breeze. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Hey, buddy, just wait a second while I take a whiz on this tree.
Yeah, you sure that's wise? There's a bit of a breeze about.
Ah, shouldn't be a problem. Safe. Hurry up, it's picking up.
Yeah, I'll be done in a...
Oh, God! Oh, Jesus!
Oh, Dave, you're into the wind! You're into the wind!
Ah, get it off me! Get it off me!
That's the Gin Blossoms, winding up today's Martin Malloy. And, Mickey, as you know, sporting shooters, they're a responsible lot, and they're being unfairly treated by our new gun laws. Mm-hmm. Nobody's denying that. Mm. However, listen to this story from today's paper. This is in Melbourne, possibly in Geelong, I think. Yes, indeed. A sporting shooter who left 7, count them, 7 pistols on the top of his car and drove away, allowing them to fall into the hands of children and criminals, has had his shooting license cancelled and his remaining rifle seized by police. So this is a bloke who's got a license. How do you get a license for 8 guns? Who needs 8 guns?
He's a sporting shooter. He must be an octopus.
He's got all 8 guns at once.
What is the sport that requires 8 guns?
ice hockey?
I don't know, but he's been described as a bloody idiot by the Victorian police minister.
Mm.
And they love any opportunity to say bloody idiot in the Victorian police force. But apparently he'd had a bit of an argument with the wife, a minor argument, a minor one. He had seven.
Since the guns were out.
That's right. Only seven for a minor argument. He's driven off. And Raising Arizona style realised, oh, the stuff on the roof's gone, eh, Wall?
Oopsie.
And it's gone missing. And, of course, Sporting Shooters Association of Australia president and also, I think, the leader of the new More Guns, Less Homosexuals party, Ted Drain, has said that if someone in his club had done this, he would have had his membership suspended for 3 months.
That's teaching him.
That'll learn him. 3 long months without your 7 guns.
Well, I know it's hard, Tone, but I mean, you know, you've got to make an example of someone.
That's right.
Is this, he noticed, the bloke in question noticed the satchel carrying the uninsured guns was missing when he pulled into a petrol station. I was thinking that's when it occurred to him. He had the balaclava on, he was ready to go, and he's going, now where? Oh, no! I've left them on the roof!
And but Ted Drain's going to take his license away for 3 long, hard months. And, Mickey, I had a fantastic experience last night around at the house. The actual sink was all blocked up, so I went down the 7-Eleven, got something called Drano. Have you tried Drano?
No, I haven't.
What you do is you pour it down into the sink, and you listen for a while. You can just hear a lot of gunfire and, get out of here, you poof! It clears the drain in no time.
A bit of Drano. A bit of Drano action.
All right, time for us to sign off and look out for 7 stray guns belonging to a responsible sporting shooter. If they're in your street, hand them in, kiddies. And we must go. Please join us in congratulating our guest, Amanda Keller, and all our gladiators. We'll be back tomorrow with comedian and empty pocket, Matt Parkinson. So until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.